In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight we celebrate the Feast of the Incarnation. The English word incarnation comes from the Latin word, which literally means enfleshment. Now, incarnation is the fancy, churchy word we use to describe what we actually celebrate on this night. Luke's gospel, which you didn't hear tonight, Luke's gospel gives us the earthly details of Jesus' birth, which you can kind of see illustrated here, and we talked about at the 5 o'clock service. Luke gives us the no room in the inn, the shepherds abiding in their fields, the angels singing glory to God in the highest. The Gospel of John, which you just heard, gives us another way to think about what we celebrate this night. As the writer of John's Gospel declares in his opening chapter, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Incarnation, God coming to us in flesh and blood, sweat and tears. God with us. The day before Thanksgiving, I went for a walk around my neighborhood and then down the hill to the shopping center on the southern edge of the great metropolis of Duval. You know where Duval is? As I approached the driveway that runs between the Starbucks and the Jiffy Lube, I looked to make sure that the way was clear for me to cross over the street. About halfway across the road, an SUV the size, literally, of a German tank shot out from the Starbucks drive-thru, raced to the road, and I swear, the person driving had a Vente in one hand and a cell phone in the other. I don't know how they were driving. Ignored the stop sign and pulled out into that road, missing me by just about this much, just a few feet. I froze, obviously, and after the shock of what had happened wore off, I was tempted, sorely tempted, to do what I would like to think in my mind that most of us would do. You know, walk over to the SUV, which was now stuck in a line for the traffic light to turn green, karma, take a picture, threaten to call the FBI, the CIA, the Homeland Security, and the infamous Duval Police. Instead, by the grace of God, I just threw up my hands, and it was quite a dramatic gesture. And I walked across the road and continued my walk down the sidewalk. Now, it had already been a particularly frustrating, stressful day. In my mind, I was thinking, this is just one more incident to prove that the universe is meaningless and human beings are just the worst. So why should I get upset? I mean, just keep walking and expect the asteroid to fall from the heavens and blow us all to hell and back. As my feet hit the sidewalk on the other side, someone in an orange, a burnt orange, Range Rover, put that in your mind, a burnt orange Range Rover pulled into that roadway, stopped, rolled down the window, and yelled out, "Hey, sir, I saw what that person just did to you. Don't let people get you down. You have a wonderful, happy Thanksgiving. You hear?" And with that, she drove off to get in line at the Jiffy Lube. Well, as you can imagine, that 10-second message changed the day entirely for me. Maybe the universe is not meaningless. Maybe there is goodness somewhere in this crazy, broken world. In that moment, I wondered, was this God speaking to me in a human voice, driving a burnt orange SUV, but incarnation, a word from God, breaking in and transforming a moment of frustration, anger, and disappointment into a moment of grace and gratitude. I grew up in a religious tradition that focused almost exclusively on asking and sometimes demanding that God do something for us. I remember how many times I was disappointed and sometimes angry because God did not do what I asked God to do. And how many times have we begged God to do something for us, to heal us or a loved one, to stop COVID, to get us out of a mess of our own making, to step in to stop human suffering, to stop war and injustice. Now, it's not wrong to ask God to do things for us. Not at all. But sisters and brothers, that is not at the heart of the Christian message or what we celebrate this night. John's gospel says, the Word became flesh and lived among us. In other words, God has moved into our neighborhood. Samuel Wells declares that the word with is the most important word in the Bible. This word is at the very heart of the nature of God's purpose for creation. And it's our destiny as the children of God. God created the world. God made a covenant with a people, with Israel. God sent Jesus to reclaim us for God because it is God's ultimate purpose to be with us. God does do things that we cannot do for ourselves. But the power of what God does for us lies in that what God does for us is based on God's ultimate purpose to simply be with us. That's what I need to hear on this night, when our world is grappling with yet another wave of COVID. A nation that seems to be tearing itself apart at the seams. And all of the stuff, all of it, that we bring into this place tonight. All of it. I don't know why God allows suffering, death, and pain. I know that human freedom plays a huge role in where we find ourselves these days. But I still do not understand the mystery of prayer and why some of our prayers go unanswered. Maybe a lot of them go unanswered. But one thing we can say this night, the heart of God, as revealed in Jesus Christ, is a heart of love, a deep, abiding desire to just simply be with us. The woman in the burnt orange SUV, or the Range Rover, didn't have to stop on the day before Thanksgiving. She didn't have to roll down her window. She didn't have to say anything. She could have got her oil changed at the Jiffy Lube. She could have went on her way and forgot about what she saw. But she didn't. She saw. She stopped. She reached out, she spoke as if to say, I see you. You are not alone in the craziness of this world we call our home. You know, God didn't have to create us. God didn't have to reach out to us. God didn't have to save us. God could have said at any point in human history, these folks are, in the South we say, slap dab crazy. I'm done with them. God could have seen our predicament and just kept on driving by the world in that cosmic burnt orange SUV. But God did not. God just could not do that. Because God is love. And love can't just go on its merry way and not be bothered when people are in trouble. When they're sad, when they're lonely, when they're discouraged, when they feel marginalized and despised. Love always sees. Love stops. Love yells out, "Hey, I saw that. I see you." But that's not all God does. God takes it one step further. One step further, and that changes things forever. God pulls over, steps out of the Range Rover, comes and joins us on the sidewalk, on the journey of life that is fraught with trouble and suffering, with joy and pain. God comes, puts an arm around us and says, "I am with you. I will walk with you every step of the way. You will never be alone." Incarnation. God with us. And if we'll open our hearts to it, God will do something in us that is nothing short of absolutely miraculous. God will become incarnate, enfleshed in us, and allow us to join in the repair of a broken, frustrated, and cynical world. My sisters and brothers, tonight that is something to celebrate. God with us. Merry feast of the enfleshment of the incarnation. Merry Christmas. Amen.